What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
In case you missed it, coming up in 40 minutes, overtime with, I believe, Big Weege.
Is he back from Cedar Point?
I got to ask him if he rode Siren's Curse.
Oh.
Is that
like your favorite ride?
No. It's the new ride. And it's had a couple malfunctions that where it's left people hanging for a minute.
That's an instant no ride for me.
Oh, that's an instant.
If we got in the news that we have some malfunctions happening, that's an instant no ride.
Not like death malfunctions. No. The malfunction is it's the one that switches track. So it starts here and then gets lowered in like the drop position, and it's been stuck in the drop position. And the threat of it is what makes that ride just a little bit more excitement.
Because
you're
not
like,
happening.
You're like, I don't really want it to drop, but yet it kind of needs to drop here. Yeah. But
so a weird thing happened to me, because I thought when I went to Disney, all the rides for Charlotte, because she's so young, they're all they're basically just little boat rides. Mm-hmm. You're not really doing anything. But it had me clamoring to ride like some big dog roller coasters. And that's not who I've been in the previous, I don't know, 15 years of my life. Like, I've kind of gotten away from roller coasters. I don't really do them. I'm not much of a thrill seeker at this point, but I was like, this would be awesome if this thing just went up really, really high and then dropped down.
The only reason why I'm not a big dog coaster guy anymore is I'm too big of a dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One of the things that I hope to get to is if I can take some of this weight off. I just miss riding coasters, man.
What's the weight limit?
It's less about the weight limit. It's more about just the overall size of the human. And if I was at 18 at 300 pounds and I had to check myself in every one of those seats, and I fit then, I'm going to say if it was snug then, it put 50 plus pounds on me and it's not going to work. So I got to drop a little weight. But yeah, I love coasters.
Have you ever gone and then just be like, no, like you can't do it?
No. You know why? I haven't even attempted it. Why would I?
It sounded like you hadn't attempted it. No. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, they'll let anybody within reason on those rides.
There was a time where I almost couldn't have kids. Because, you know, you do the thing up front, and it passed. Well, for whatever reason, I got into it, and the thing wasn't locking. But the operator thought I was too heavy. And the problem is where the belt aligned was exactly where you think it is. And just say we got slammed by the operator.
For how much trouble?
Your boy took a pound.
You can end up getting in on those things. They're very laissez-faire, it feels like. The workers attached to all those rides, the carnies.
Yeah, I don't think those are carnies.
Might not be carnies at Cedar Point.
You want to see carnies, go to a fair.
Well, I went to a fair, and we did the Ferris wheel, and we got really high up, and Charlotte did it with me. I have photos of her freaking out at the top. But like Charlotte was about a solid foot too tiny to do this. And it was obvious. We did the height thing, and the guy just was like, looks good to me. And I'm like, all right, he says it's cool. and we probably shouldn't have done it.
I think it's more of a you thing than it's on the Carney thing.
We probably shouldn't have done it. No, Charlotte had a good time. She just got a little scared at the top, and then I said, oh no, this was a bad idea.
When we went to the Tower of Terror in Disney with the girls, this is about, oh gosh, it was November 2021. So we're going on, what, 4 years now? And so the 20s were going to go, there were seven going on eight. And they fit under they're like, okay, yep, they're big enough to ride this. But when it dropped, because they were so light, you could feel their butts leave the seat.
Oh.
And you want to talk about, it was not a good parenting moment because my kids started freaking the hell out.
Well, yeah, if they're getting like
and
airborne.
So all you're hearing is these three little girls, and I am cackling like the devil himself because I knew they were safe. But I remember that feeling, that fear that you had, and just they were so over the top dramatic with it that I was in tears laughing. That when we were getting off, the people were looking back at the twins and Livy, and they were like, those poor girls. And then they would look at me and be like, that son of a, like, it was like, it was palpable anger at me. And I'm like, they're my daughters. I'm allowed to laugh at their trauma. Like, back off, bub. That's not what I said, but I thought it because I was a coward. And I also, there's a little bit of guilt there. But carnies have gotten worse.
Yeah, they just kind of, hey, go for it.
No, I just mean like the caliber of carny.
Are they true carnies at this point, or have we evolved past that?
Oh, no, I think they're true carnies.
Because I love the idea of there being actual carny men out there that like go show to show and just have that carny lifestyle, but I'm worried it's kind of gone away.
No, it hasn't.
Because the phrase is never going to leave my lips. It's always going to be a carny man.
So this is where I don't know if carnies have gotten worse, like the caliber of human who's carnies, or I just didn't realize it when I was young. But like, we went to the fair last year. I'm not going to say which one. And I was like, these dudes are sketchy. Like, this is like, at any point, anything could break out, and it's because of these dudes. Like, that's the kind of carny we were dealing with. And crude, and when I sound like a yuppie, but crude, and like,
it's okay.
Like, I brought out my Medina County.
That is
once.
Kind of the carny experience, though, don't you? It's weird if they're like really over the top nice and seem well dressed and seem like they haven't gone through lot of trauma in life.
No. There was almost a malfunction of the junction.
I'm thinking like Gosling and Beyond the Pines.
No.
That movie?
No, way worse. No, there was a guy who didn't know Vanessa and I were together. And while he is buckling my kid.
He might have known.
What? No, he didn't, because we dealt with it. But he was buckling my kids in, and he made a comment to me about her and what he liked to do to my wife.
I think he was trying to invite himself into the relationship is what I was getting at.
Well, when I said, I'm not going to tell you what I said, but what I can tell you is I spoke the common language of rustic folk, and I redirected his attention to my imminent dissatisfaction with a very pointed, direct, explicit, detailed understanding of what was about to happen. And he turned white like that. He lost color in his face because I was so furious. Because it wasn't just the white, it wasn't just how he talked about my wife. It's my kids right there and can hear you. And it took about 30 minutes to calm down. And I made sure to walk by one more time and just stare the hell out. It's as mad as I've ever gotten in that kind of setting. Because I love the fair. I was ready to go. I would have been stabbed. I would be dead now. But I was ready to go. I was ready to put it on the line.
I'm sad that happened for you.
It's kind of fun. It was a nice little Saturday, you know?
You got
the blood pumping, okay. Felt like a real man, scared another person, which I don't traditionally do because I'm the least intimidating man, and by design, I don't want to intimidate people.
Well, that also comes with the carny man, by the way, in general. They're not very intimidating humans.
Like, my dad, you know, I told you, my dad is an actual pacifist. He would let you punch him in the face four times just if it meant he wouldn't have to lift a finger because he'd never wanted to hurt somebody. He was the sweetest dude in the world. And there were two times in my life where I saw my dad flip the switch. And by the way, not a lot. But there are two times I saw that man flip the switch. And I distinctly remember both of them. and I distinctly enjoyed both of them. And I felt that way that day. Like, I walked around like, I'm not afraid of you carnies.
I think if he flipped the switch twice, he's not much of a pacifist.
No, you understand the extremes. You gotta understand my mom is the version of me that is like a little bit of a hothead. And my mom, especially when she was younger, my mom was a tough, tough, tough woman. Like, she grew up being treated like she was a farm kid. Like, my night papa treated her like he treated the boys. They were rough and tumble. My mom is a tough ass woman. My dad was not. my dad was the sweetest human being. He very rarely ever got mad. So to see that guy getting ready to give somebody the five knuckle shuffle was pretty great.
Can we take Bobby's call?
Dang it, Bobby.
An F in English, you speak English.
Bobby in Youngstown, what's up, buddy?
Hey, boys. Hey, I think I'd be more scared of Nick Wilson threatening me as a carny than I would be to ride a roller coaster, to be completely honest. Hey, I got a quick.
Both have bad outcomes, Bobby.
Yeah, here's what I think.
Pride and Prejudice.
What I think is so funny is I just went from like doughy, lovable dad to sweating in anger in like 3 seconds, and I felt like a real man that day. Still do.
I agree with you. Yeah, I'd be terrified. So I got a quick LeBron James Cedar Point story. This is one of one. I played the drums in the band. I was definitely a band nerd, and we used to march around Cedar Point once a year. Saw at Akron St. V's bus. Of course, I know that LeBron's not in the band, but he probably pulled some strings. The whole basketball team was there. This was the first year the Millennium Force was out, so maybe 3-4 hour wait. I saw him get on the ride in line as I got off. So I already waited my 3-4 hours to ride, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to buy his picture when he gets off the ride. So I waited until LeBron rode the ride. I bought his picture, and I went up to him, and I had him sign it. He was 16 years old. I'll tweet it to both of you so you guys can check it out. But that's my prized possession in my entire life is my framed LeBron James Millennium Force autograph picture, framed in the same exact frame as the Cleveland Plain Dealer the day they won the championship. I went downtown and bought like 5 of them.
Well, now I got to know, what face was he making?
Yeah.
So he's screaming. It almost looks like he's calling timeout. And he's sitting right next to Drew Joyce III. Romeo Travis was there. Shion Cotton, like their whole crew. It was absolutely unbelievable. This is back when payphones were a thing, and I remember calling my dad and telling him he was freaking out. But
the Dewey Slopes of 2002.
Yeah, dude, it was absolutely unbelievable. So I just wanted to drop that nuggie on you because I've been hanging on to this forever. I've had multiple people offer me, you know, sums of money for it, but I don't think I'll ever part with it.
Oh, I would now?
No, you can't.
Like, what's the most amount of money? Now I got to know.
I had a guy offer me $5,000 for it.
Not enough.
And I still have.
$5,000 would be enough for me.
I don't know. Maybe retirement or, you know, unfortunately, when somebody does pass away, their stock rises. So I'm kind of hanging on to it until maybe retirement day, or if I outlive LeBron James, maybe I'll sell it one day or give it to my kid to sell.
Bobby, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, boys.
What is the number?
No, $5,000's a great number. I'm selling that for sure. I'd go as low as $1,500.
I mean, I think I
just don't hang on to things like that, though.
Yeah, to me, it's more about like it's like if you owned original Apple stock, at what point do you just take the bleep you money? It's not $5,000 though. It's good money, by the way. I'm not like,
I don't know that he's ever getting a better offer than $5,000 on that, though.
I mean, it is a one of one.
Yes, that it
like,
is.
So that in terms of the rareness of it, and it's young LeBron, it's all this other stuff. I think it actually, like you would. I think it's 6 figures. If you offered me 6 figures for it, I'd consider it.
6 figures.
And we're talking low sixes. We're talking like a hundy. If you say a hundy, yeah, I'm sorry. There's no way I'm not doing that. That's why when he said,
so someone says 50,000, you're not doing it.
No,
that's insane.
It's one of one. It's a story.
So is a shirt if I take it off myself and say, hey, LeBron, sign that. That's a one of one.
No, no. This is different. It's a picture of LeBron in a candid moment that nobody else thought to do. I think, like, honestly, I'd put it in a plaque because that makes everything twice as expensive.
It sounds like he did, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I would, because here's the thing. If it's not worth that now, I think at some point it will. Look at where.
I'd sell it for about $2,000, and then I'd buy a fake jersey with a fake autograph of LeBron and put that up on my wall and be like, I got an autograph, we're fine.
No, I'm holding out for.
$50,000, you're saying no?
Yeah, I think I can get more. If I just wait long enough, like Apple stock.
LeBron signed. He signed too many. He signed too many pieces because Apple's the only one you reference.
I mean, you got it like 1967. I don't think it's 101. 1982. I don't know. The point is, yeah.
I mean, it'd be different if like LeBron had signed like 10 things in his life, but LeBron signs things all the time, and that's only going to accelerate when he gets beyond playing in the NBA because he'll start doing all sorts of autograph sessions at the different what was the Panini Fest that they just the Fan Fest, the Fanatics Fan Fest, where they have these guys, everyone's there. Tom Brady's at the table doing this, but he's going to end up doing the same thing.
Why wasn't it just Fanatics Fest?
I think it was
the Fanatics Fan Fest.
No, I think it was. I just had a hard time thinking of Fanatics for a second there. Yeah,
sorry to jam you up. I thought they literally called it the Fanatics Fan Fest, and I was like, well, that's just
they might have.
That's just redundant. You're too popular to do.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
216-474-00. Okay, in the Bobby scenario here, what's the number? I think more people agree with you. I think $5,000 is $5,000.
Taking that instantly.
How pissed would you be, though, if you saw like 5 years later it sells for like $100,000?
One, I would just be like, wow, I miscalculated the market there because I don't think it's getting there at all.
$95,000? You're just going to be like, oh, whoops.
I'd be like, yeah, I guess I miscalculated. How many things sell for $100,000 in the like that memorabilia world?
You got from inflation, an autograph perspective. Tariffs.
Like there's got to be a lot attached to it to get $100,000. So I'd live with the idea it's not going to make it to $100,000. And if it did, then I'd be like, yeah, I mean, what else can you do? You sold it for $5,000. You got the value for when you got it.
I'd like to know if you had a one of one autographed picture of LeBron James riding a roller coaster at Cedar Point. What is the number that allows you to say, I can sell this awesome one of a kind item? I'm starting the bidding at $100,000. And even then, it's a maybe.
I don't believe you. It's a maybe.
Yeah.
100,000, man, that's a lot of money. That'll change your life.
Yeah, that's why I want $100,000.
So it's a lot of money right there. 95,000 can do a lot of damage, too.
And back on the good path with the Gardos in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Maybe it's just the idea that it's the White Sox, too. The White Sox, they're not the Rockies, but the White Sox are so utterly bad. You know what it's going to do? It's going to have me convinced, even though they just beat the Astros, which is one of the top like three teams in baseball right now. It's going to just have me convinced that they can beat up on teams like the White Sox, and they'll have their opportunities to do that, but I just won't have much confidence in them against the better teams, which just sounds strange since they just beat one of the best teams in baseball.
So it doesn't change. Like, I think if they do make a playoff push, you'd probably be lucky to win a series, just with the way you are and in the way that playoff baseball goes. You just don't have nearly enough home runs and enough power. You've taken a step back in the power department this year. You just haven't replenished Josh Naylor's power that you subtracted from last year.
Mm-hmm.
It also doesn't necessarily change how I feel about trading Emmanuel Clase. If anything, it might make me more intrigued to see if you can get a current major league veteran and then the prospects that you want on a team that might be replete with hitting. It does change how I feel about just overall. Like, I'd rather be an 82-win team than a 72-win team, because the difference between those two things is night and day over the next, carry the two, 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anyone that would be like, I want to be a 72-win team over an 82-win team. But, like, I don't have much confidence right now in this team, and I'm trying to figure out whether or not a four-game series against the White Sox, if I'm weighing things in a four-game series against the White Sox, I'm weighing the wrong things.
I think it's more okay, in fairness, you're talking about the lofty goals that I think we had when at one point you were, what, 8 games above 500 and in control of the division, or just nipping behind the Tigers. I don't think you're ever in control of the division. But I do think there are some things in the intermediate. I think if you lose 10 games and you followed up by a 7-game winning streak to go on the All-Star break, I think all of a sudden we can talk about it more as an offset of like, all right, you had a bad stretch, you had a good stretch, continue. I do think, like, I think the rotation is coming together even without Luis Ortiz. So I think adding Bieber and maybe even John Means to it, that gets me a little excited. I do think a Class A trade, depending on which one, would then all of a sudden give me like, oh, you got a guy that can actually play here, even if it just means I don't have to watch Will Wilson again or Jonathan Rodriguez again.
I guess I'm trying to figure out if maybe the next 3 weeks is them deciding whether or not they want to go completely into the seller's market, or if they just want to dip their toes in. And Class A is not completely, by the way. Class A to me is the expectation. The ideal right now, I'm just convinced he's going to be gone. That is what it is. I'm talking more about, do you trade Cade Smith as well? Is Stephen Kwan a part of that mix as well? Like, those are the type of things I guess I'm trying to find out.
And even Santana and Thomas, like, I think are guys that are like wait and see. Because if you're by the All-Star break, if you're in a wild card spot, which is absolutely conceivable right now, with this series and knowing you're only 4.5 games back, okay, then trading Class A doesn't have to be just we're selling, it's we're cashing out the value, and we got confidence in Cade or Paul Sewald to be our closer and our ability to generate those guys. But I think you're right, especially the Kwan thing. I have said I don't think it'd kill your ability to make a big push in the second half like the Tigers did last year.
Yeah.
But it's tough to see unless you get 2 major league ready bats in return for him. It is tough to see you do that.
But you're telling everyone in the locker room you're done for this season if you trade Kwan, in my opinion.
And that's why, like, I think even when we've had the Class A conversation, I would understand. I mean, you know me. I flipped out when we did the Savali thing 2 years ago and the Josh Bell thing, because it's like, you're still kind of in it. Just go. Like, tanking has no value in baseball. There weren't young guys that were going to come up immediately. Like, when you traded for Manzardo, he didn't slide right in the lineup. You didn't have guys ready to take over those spots. So just try and win and see what happens. The difference this year would be, I think a Class A trade, and I continue to go back to this one just because it was the one that made sense to me. You can go to that locker room and go, guys, we've been thinking about trading Emmanuel for a while. Cade is our closer. We've got a great setup guy. We've got setup guys in Sewald, in Gattis, and we feel like Aleman in Walters. And oh, by the way, we got somebody to improve the lineup.
It's very justifiable. To a whole team, it's very justifiable to be like, we have to get rid of Class A because we feel like it makes our team better in the long term. And even if they might add a bat that you can use right away. They might just add somebody that is better in 2026, 2027. But, like, the point is, you can justify that to the lineup.
And here's the thing. I think you can justify the Class A thing more than you can even Santana.
The Santana thing is 100% justifiable, though.
No. So I'm talking about to the locker room. It's justifiable to you and me if you don't think you're going to do a damn thing. But I mean, to that locker room.
I see what you're saying, but I think the difference there is it's not as if this locker room is littered with a bunch of guys that played with Santana in the previous times that he was with the Guardians. So he's been with them for a couple months. I'm sure it matters, but I wouldn't hang on to that.
I think the point is, whatever you get for Carlos, for a half a season of Carlos, isn't going to help any of those guys right now. And to say, we still believe in you after subtracting from a bad lineup one of your 3 best players so far this year, I think that is a far more damaging idea to the locker room than it would be trading Emmanuel.
I see what you're saying. I think, though, most of them would look at it, at least they should. Like, if they start bringing up players as well, being like, they had to get other guys opportunities. And it's not like, Santana's been good, but he hasn't been anything that is so irreplaceable. He's fine, but you can find that in many, many ways if you just start having some of the guys you either bring up or guys like Manzardo getting everyday opportunities.
To me, it's like the Naylor thing. Because here's the thing. What you're saying is factually correct. Carlos has been nice. Now, in fairness, he is more of a second-half player than he is a first-half player. So you would have – it's like I can understand if he goes elsewhere and has a really nice second half of the season. But that neither here nor there. But it's like I thought they should have traded Josh Naylor. What was enraging is you then didn't put – you put that money into the bullpen and the rotation – and didn't put any in putting a veteran outfielder out there. Or, technically you put $11 million into Carlos Santana. Carlos is who he is. He's a better glove now than he is a bat, and certainly shouldn't be your fourth or fifth hitter. That was the frustration of like, so the idea is it's trading Naylor and then replacing him with Air or David Fry, that all of a sudden is like, that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough to palate it, to put to your palate if you are the locker room.
Well, it just has a conclusion to the Naylor deal in many respects, and it does make it seem more like you robbed Peter to pay Paul than it currently does, where it looked like, okay, we didn't want to pay Naylor, and maybe there were some conversations behind the scenes, but we did go and pay Santana the freight, exactly what he would have cost.
I am pretty excited for the deadline. Either way, we're in a really interesting spot where, like, even if they wholesale did some things, I still just kind of think, like, you just never know. I think the Tigers were under a lot, to use this comparison, I think the Tigers were under a lot of pressure last year when they traded Flaherty, and there was a couple other guys they moved on from. And I think those trades, you and I are worried about, hey, are you telling those guys you've given up on them?
Yeah.
That was a young locker room that it kind of motivated them, pissed them off a little bit, and I think it took the pressure off of them. I'm curious how trading any of these guys would maybe unlock some of the pressure, because I think there's an incredible amount of pressure on every one of these hitters.
So the Detroit thing is interesting, because what it did for them was it forced them to play a different style of baseball. And they understood their rotation at that point when they made the Flaherty trade was just shot. It was just a lot of injuries and a lot of bad. And so what it did is it forced them to use the bullpen as early as they possibly could, and they had a lot of different relievers as starters, and it just got them to play a different way, and that was important for them. So I'd be curious to find out how, if you're going to just completely change your way of playing in the second half, how the Guardians would do that, because the Guardians are still going to be based off the same principles that the first half allowed. You know what I mean? Like the first half of the season was your rotation and it was your bullpen. Like that's the key, and getting the rotation into form. Second half is still going to be that. Like you're still going to have the problem about the offense. And so you're not really changing up the recipe that way, the way that the Tigers did, where they just completely changed it.
You're right. But I think I think the biggest problem of the recipe right now isn't even necessarily the talent. I think it's these guys, and maybe this win streak changes this, right? Maybe this team all of a sudden shows a fight in the second half.
Yeah.
But I think there's some, I think errors just compound errors, and I think the offense stinking absolutely has impacted the fielding. Well, I think it's just becomes a comedy of errors.
There is one way though that it might change, and the idea that, so we all complain about them platooning so much, right? Well, if all of a sudden you trade Santana, and let's say you trade Kwan as well, and you just kind of fill those holes with either new guys or other guys that haven't been getting daily at-bats between a left field spot. And I don't know, maybe this also involves you telling another player like Jonathan Rodriguez, you just don't get to play anymore, or Will Wilson, you don't get to play anymore. But the second half, we could, in theory, get rid of a lot of the platoon situations that they built the first half on.
So, because I think
that's a completely different approach.
And I think that's part and parcel with the pressure thing. How can you expect Kyle Manzardo to hit more than 220 if the guy plays 3 days a week or 4 days a week?
Right. I think it's miserable that this is what they do to these kids. I think it's so hard to get hitting a baseball in general. I think it's just so hard to do. But like being out of rhythm and then not knowing exactly when you're playing and then being in and being out. Like, it's why I've always told you about the DHs. I think DH in baseball is the hardest thing in the whole entire sport. You wait 45 minutes and then to get a 90 mile an hour slider you have to hit. It's so incredibly hard. But imagine not knowing when you're playing in any given moment. Like, it's got to be so tough on these guys.
Can I tell you one thing that I would like to see them do win, lose, or draw. I think they should go to Lane Thomas right now, and I think they should offer him a one-year incentive-laden, but like an extension to help rebuild his value. Because if he goes to, he's going to get maybe 1 year, $6 million in the open market.
Mm-hmm.
I think his price is right where it needs to be. And it might have him shut down for the season because he's battling through injuries. But I've gone from thinking there's no shot Lane is going to be here to I think this is one of the loose ends you can tie up before next year. Because even if all he is next year is a platoon with Nolan and Wright, because, you know, Kwan's in left and you found your center field or whatever, or he's in center and Nolan's in center and DeLauder's in right, whatever it is, I think the time is right to go to him and just say, hey, man, you're struggling. This is not a great time to enter the market. You'll still be 30 next year, 31 next year. Let's just do something that's beneficial for both of us. I wonder if he'd sign it, because I would feel better if I knew Lane was going to be. I don't want to trade Lane at all, because you're not going to get diddly squad for him.
I'd sign it if I were him. I'd take the money and be able to just shut it down and then get healthy and then work on building my value next year.
Yeah.
I'd do that in a second if I were him.
216-474-0092. Are the Guardians back? Are you back in on the Guardians if they sweep the White Sox? I'm just curious on like I'm where you guys are with success in the rest of this month and what it means for the Guardians. And in case we missed it, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast!
Oh my God!
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102!
Laser beam! Walk off, baby! This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah! Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.